I'm beginning to understand how the kingdom comes back here now, because that's what we're looking for. Everybody wants the outpouring. They want all the inheritance here. How that kingdom comes back. We know how to go in. We know what's there. We have a map, praise the Lord. Listen, but when you get through the door, you might as well know by the time you get to the throne of grace and to the rest, he's in charge. You're not in charge anymore. If you're running into a wall trying to get into some place that he's trying to get you somewhere else, you just need to back up and rest and let him lead you. And that's what happened this morning. And something incredibly happened this morning when I did that. Just because he led you in the Father's love yesterday doesn't mean he's going to lead you there today. He might have something else for you. Amen? But you're eventually just going to swim in all of it. Praise the Lord. Let him lead you. Be pliable. You're going to get a lot further. You're going to acclimate a lot more fluidly when you let him run things. Amen? When I get through that door, I start surrendering everything. First thing I do is I give him my will. I lay it down at his feet. And I call him my shepherd. He's the one leading now, not me. I give him my control. I'm not in control. I don't want to be in control anymore. I'm not there or here. He's much better at it than we are. Amen? Turn to Galatians 2:20. I want you to hang on because we're going to go for a little ride tonight. You're going to have to really listen to what I'm about to say. Because great mystery is unlocking right now. Now, I'll preface this by some encounters I had shared Sunday and last week, but I didn't really understand all that he was doing. I'm starting to understand what he's doing now. Walking by faith, amen? He's leading us, so we're learning every single day. It's a brand new learning experience, and it's amazing. And the Lord said, you have to share these experiences so that people understand what's going on here. He wants us to understand. Not only does he want us to understand, he wants us to dwell with him. He's just amazing. Every part of him's amazing. You think when you enter in the rest, that's it. There's a million levels. There's a million levels to his peace. It's just amazing. But what I want to show you tonight, what he was showing me is how this is going to come back here. Amen? How all of that's coming back here. Close you, but there's a whole lot more to that. Then I went into this encounter last week, into the rest, where I was wanting to move into his love, because we're bouncing back and forth between his love and rest right now. And so I was trying to enter into his love, because that's what he did the day before. And he said, back up, let's go back to my rest. And he did something really remarkable. And I taught a whole message on this. When I was dwelling with him, I want to call it dwelling now, say dwelling. I'm going to talk to you about dwelling in God now. There's a mystery in dwelling and abiding in God. So you're going to go in here and you're going to visit areas. There's a difference between visiting and dwelling. It's like when you go into a house, you haven't moved in yet. You go and you visit. But now we're going to move into that house. Amen? You move into his rest. You move into his love. You dwell. There's a point where you start visiting and visiting and visiting. All of a sudden, that place becomes yours. And that place also becomes his in you. And what happened was, but I struggled a lot in the early days, even in the ministry, a whole lot with the spirit of Ishmael. I struggled with works. I didn't know I was struggling with works. It was just very deep into my nature because it was very ambitious. I loved God a whole lot. But the way I was going about it, I had a lot of vision. When you got a lot of vision and an A-type personality, you want to go put your hands to it, and then get you a lot of trouble. Now, over time, he had put a lot of that under. And what he did is he broke a lot of stuff, but he put it under. And because of my walk with God, he was able to keep his spirit over it. But God just don't want to keep his spirit over something. He wants to eradicate it completely. And he severed that whole curse of works. He brought me before the thorns. I saw the thorns pierce his brow. I saw the thorns. And he took the very curse which there was in the world. And he said, it's going to bring forth thorns now. The garden's going to bring forth thorns. And he took that thorn. And those soldiers actually aided God in the redemption. And those thorns pierced his brow. And it broke and severed the works. And it happened there. I felt chains breaking. I felt so liberated in the rest and the peace of God. And that started happening in the love of God. I get in the love, and when I first come in, I was just enjoying. All of a sudden, the love of God started wanting to conquer things contrary to it. And I found that when you move into these dimensions, you get to a place where you start dwelling there. And when you start dwelling there, somehow it gives him a license to start eradicating things that have been in your life forever. It's totally contrary to where you were sitting. All of a sudden, this goes after it automatically. I wasn't even looking for it. Just start severing cords and breaking things. That 19 years of ministry and serving God and fasting, I did 521 days and fasts in a row, and all this stuff survived that. But nothing. This stuff was completely eradicated, just dwelling there. It was almost automatic. I wasn't even looking for it. It went and found it. Like hands, it's going in there ripping stuff out. The massive transformation in such a short time. I always knew it was there. I just didn't know how to get in there. Now that I'm in there, it's happening. But something happened today.
That's what I'm talking about. Galatians 2:20. Said, I am crucified with Christ. We'll call that phase one, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's phase two. Phase three, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Notice what he says, who loved me. He didn't say L-O-V-E-S, he said L-O-V-E-D. By the time you're in phase three, he already loved you. You've already experienced his love. You've already been loved. Not that he's not going to love you more, but he's loved you. By the time you're there, he's already loved you. Amen? And I just began to see the mystery of redemption unfold this morning. When he took me back into the rest, and the peace of God exploded. And he said something to me. He goes, this will now be with you in the earth. Before, when I was dwelling, I would just swim in him. I come back here, I'm just me. But there were things happening, but not like that. Not where the peace that I was dwelling in dwells with me here. When he said that to me, it just, I said, well, what's the difference? Why now? Why is this going back with me? Why didn't all the other stuff? And that's when he opened this up. And actually, this is one of the great mysteries of the kingdom, how what you dwell in there will come back here. How to get clothed where you actually bring it back. It's more than just being clothed, by the way. But you will be clothed. There actually is an authorized redemption that takes place there. First thing is, I am crucified with Christ. Now, that was the position you were given day one when you were born again. Legally, now you walk that out, of course, but legally, you were crucified with Christ. That doesn't sound very fun, does it? But actually, what he's talking about is your old man that you were born with was, Romans 6 said, buried with him in baptism. The day you were born again, he took the old man and he buried it. But he didn't just take that. He also took your body and buried it legally. He also took your soul and buried it legally. Now go to Romans 6 for a minute. So I want you to understand this. Now a lot of times when you got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, there are things that broke. How many had stuff break off of you immediately? Everybody did. But then how many had some stuff that just keeps on going? We wouldn't have a sozo ministry if you got totally freed at salvation. There are certain things that keep on going. They can keep on going like the Energizer Bunny, and they can go on in the ministry and keep on rolling. The hardest thing is after 19 years in ministry, seeing some of that stuff that kept on going. I'm like, the soul is a very complex mechanism. It's able to categorize pain. It's able to categorize hurt. It's able to categorize words and layer them. Push, layer, push, and layer, push, and layer. It's able to build self-protection mechanisms to keep it from happening again, but really those don't help. Things still get through. But it's able to categorize pain so you can keep living. Because it's able to take trauma and push it down, layer it so you can keep on living. It's able to create personalities to dwell with certain people so they can't experience the pain. You won't let them know that part of you. It's able to create facades. It's a very complex mechanism. That part actually was buried with Christ legally. Now, when you're born again, some things got broken off. You had some addictions broke off immediately. Then I had other stuff you had to walk out. Amen. And the walking out process has been a very long and tedious process. But I'm here to tell you, it's getting a lot better now. There is some stuff up there that can seriously conquer our issues. It's the way he actually designed it. Even when you're a babe, he can give you access if you're taught properly into him. He's so full of grace on all your stuff. Here's the catch 22. What you need is in him. Amen. The deliverance you need, the transformation you need. So he takes you as you are, but then I got to approach him with all this stuff, with all this baggage. So God created an ingenious plan to bypass your baggage while you're entering in. Because it's in there you get changed, not here. What the enemy does is get you in a trap to try to change your life here all the time. How many of you ever done that? Change this behavior pattern. Change that. That is so tedious. When you've been exposed to the glory, that's just works. Because the glory of God can eradicate that stuff like that. But you got to get there. And to get there, you got 10,000 pounds of baggage. But he has this ingenious way called faith that lets you go to the Father just like you are. In fact, he presents you faultless before the Father. Because what the Bible says is I'm found in him not having my own righteousness. You can say it like this, I'm found in him not having my own peace. I'm found in him not having my own baggage. I'm found in him. So faith lets you go to the place where the Father can begin to love you. He doesn't hold that stuff because Christ is your mediator. He's your high priest. So he's not holding that against you. That's why you're accepted in the beloved. Say, I'm accepted. If you could peel your soul back and look at some of that stuff, you would be, I can't believe God would ever even save me. But he loves you. And all that stuff goes in fellowships all the time with him. You know what? Because he's not fellowship with that part of you. He's fellowshipping with you in Christ. You're covered in Christ. So the Father doesn't look at all that stuff. But when you get in there, all of a sudden his love starts just eradicating it. So faith is the genius plan of God to let you go in with all the stuff, even the stuff you don't know you have. And when you get in there, love opens the heart up and starts unveiling the soul. All those little layers you've been pulling down, he starts pulling them off. He's unpeeling you every time. Each time you get a new revelation. Sometimes it's really hard to look at. Sometimes he's lovely to look at. And then sometimes you got to look at yourself. Only enough to see it for repentance, and the change will be there. Because the power you experience is nothing like what's on this planet. Amen? Now, Romans 6, real quick. Go there. Verse 3. I'm still in the crucified with Christ phase. Galatians 2 has three major parts to it. Amen? I want you to get you to a spiritual law that takes place. There's a redemption that takes place there. When you meet the qualification, the redemption's automatic. You don't work for redemption there. It's automatic. The cross is the place Jesus paid all the price for you. The cross introduced you, but the right hand of God, the throne of grace, the rest, the love of the Father, is the place where all that redemption is released upon you. It's not that he didn't release redemption here. He does, but he really releases it there in fullness, what we need. Amen. Romans 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of you as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him in baptism into death. And like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We've been planted together with him in the likeness of death. We shall walk in the likeness of his resurrection. You've been crucified with Christ, but you don't stay there. You're going to walk with him in his resurrection. You walk with him in the resurrection life, but you got to know how to obtain it. We were buried with him in baptism. Look at this, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Not just your spiritually old man, but legally, positionally, he crucified the body and he crucified the soul. Legally, he did that to gain legal rights to minister to you in that area. When you gave your life to him, legally, he baptized all of you. When you go under the water, your spirit just doesn't go under water. All of it goes down. The old man was buried. And the spirit got an immediate transformation into the new creation of God. Your soul was legally purchased for him to come to administer redemption to. Your body was legally purchased for him to come and minister redemption. He has legal rights to you. But here's the kicker. We're here. God, bring all the legal rights of redemption to my soul. Drop it on me, God. You're praying and God says, okay, Anna, could you please go minister sozo to them? Chuck, could you please go minister sozo to them? Go to this conference, go to that conference, because he's administrating the kingdom through his people. You want him to come direct with redemption, that redemption sitting in the right hand of God. You're trying to get him to bring that redemption to a second heaven, to all this principality, all this warfare, and then come and unfold 10,000 pounds of baggage in you all in one shot. It's not going to happen. Not when you're dwelling there. See, when you go where he is, you are in the possession. You're in a position now where he has legal rights to transform you. We all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Father, I will they be with me where I am. See, when you get where he is, he has legal rights to work on you. And there's nothing hindering him there. There's nothing that can say no there. There's no accuser of the brethren there. There's no second heaven warfare there. He has absolute legal rights to minister redemption. That's why it's so powerful there. I've been crucified with Christ. He gained the legal rights. I was born again. I went to the cross. Now, phase two. Go back to Galatians 2. Now I'm going to tell you something that happens there that causes, once you meet a certain position there, his redemption will flood into you like a rocket. Now, Pastor Chuck and Anna have experienced some of this stuff, us together, but you don't know all that's going on right now. But there's a massive amount of transformation going on. A lot of foundational changes so quick, so fast, that we're all kind of looking at each other with mouth drops and said, who would have believed that? I mean, that fast? That's how he works when he doesn't have any barriers to have to cross. He will minister to you here, but he'd rather have you with him there where he doesn't have to deal with anything. He's got you one-on-one. And he's well able to administer redemption to you. Galatians 2:20, phase one, I'm crucified with Christ. You were actually your spirit man. Your old man was crucified. There are legal parts of you that were crucified, even though they're living in you now. How many know when you get born again, generational stuff carries over? Issues carry over. He's legally crucified those, but they have not been administrated. That full redemption has not and has yet to be administrated. And some of us are walking in a full gospel church and been around the full gospel for 20, 30 years and still haven't got the fullness of that redemption because that kind of power is not flowing yet. But the church is doing the best it can, amen? But God's going to increase it because his people are gaining access now. Now, he's legally purchased the redemption, all right? Now, look at this next verse. This is phase two. All right, phase two, ready? Nevertheless, say nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth where? in me. In. Where's the kingdom? In me. Where's Christ? In you. All of this stuff goes on in Christ in you. Now look at phase three just for a minute. Phase three, and the life which I now live in the flesh. You know what he means by that? This will tell you a little bit about what phase two is, about the response of phase three. The life that I now live, what? In the flesh. The life that I now live in this earthly jurisdiction. That's what he meant, in the flesh. The life I'm living here, I live by what? He didn't say just faith. He said the faith of the Son of God. I'm living by his faith. Now, people trying to live by his faith, if you got phase two, you're not going to get phase three. Because something drastically happens in phase two that causes him to come live through you here. Did you get it? By the time phase three came along, the life that I'm living is earthly jurisdiction. I live by the faith. Something came with me from phase two. Something's on me from phase two. Something's with me. And it all happened by what went on in phase two. Amen. And this is for every area, by the way. Peace, love, inheritance, glory, all of it. Look at this. Nevertheless, this is phase two, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Something happened in phase two to where an area he was living in his old man, got conquered. And that old man's no longer living, but now Christ is living in that place in its stead. Christ owns that place. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ is living in me. Well, doesn't Christ live in all of us? Positionally, he does. Is he living in us? But notice, it said Christ that lives in me. He wasn't talking about this earthly jurisdiction. Because the next verse said, and, the life I'm living in the earthly jurisdiction, I live by the faith of the Son of God that took ownership of this place. He took over in me. He took over. How do you get him to take over a part of you that's not been surrendered? How do you get that powerful redemption that dwells in the right hand of God involved with the areas of your life that don't want to yield? With the stubborn areas. How does he take ownership of that? How does he take your struggles? You continue going around a mountain and conquer them like that. And then come back and live through you in his faith in the earth. By the time that man got back there, that old man wasn't living. Christ was living in that area. It certainly didn't happen by works. Because the first thing he's going to do is shatter your capacity for works. You cannot dwell in works there. You cannot work for that redemption. It's already been paid for. How do I get it? What happened in phase two that caused Christ to take over that area and to manifest into the earth? When that peace came today, I was dwelling in the rest, but nothing like that. And he said to me, he said, this will go back with you now. So far, so good. All I had to do is close my eyes today and, oh, thank you for your peace. And it's, he said, this will go back and grow with you, is what he said. I said, but it doesn't do it all the time because I've been coming here a lot. He said, yes, but something's happened. And I said, what happened? He goes, that's the mystery. It's going to happen with glory. It's going to happen with the living waters. It's going to happen with all those inheritances. See, God gives you access, then encounter, then dwelling. Something happens in the dwelling process. Something happens when you begin to dwell, not access. And something will happen when you access. Something will happen when you encounter. But when you begin to dwell,
it releases his redemption there. And he transforms you quickly.
What'd he say? We know about how to go into that dimension. Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I want you to go to John 16. First order is access. Second order is encounter. Third order is dwell. Once you dwell, something's going to happen. The reason why we're not experiencing what we're wanting to experience is we don't have enough dwelling. How many of you heard of encounters in the heavenlies? I mean, all these encounters, but nothing comes back because you were in an encountering phase. God gave the encounter so you could set the compass for dwelling. Until we dwell, it doesn't come back. Until we dwell, it doesn't come back fully. When you learn to dwell, what you're dwelling in is going to come back here with you. And it's going to manifest here. John 16, watch this. Verse 33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me, say in me, you might have peace. Where did he would say you'd have peace? In me. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Say, in me there's peace. Now, I want you to look at John 14, verse 27. Now, notice what he said here. Peace I leave, what? With you. My peace I give unto you. Those are two different places there. One of them, he says, in me you have my You might have peace. The other one says, my peace I leave with you. I give to you where you are. One of them was in a position in him. The other one was where you are in the earth. I leave it with you. I give it to you. One of them, you were in him partaking of the peace. The other one, he was in you manifesting in the earth. One of them was phase two. One of them was phase three. Hebrews 13. Phase two. Now the God of peace, say the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. See, that was crucified with Christ, brought him again from the dead now. Watch this, verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Look at this. Working what? The God of peace. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. See, he's going to work something in you first. While you're in him, he's in you. And then he's going to work it through you into the earth. You see that? If you don't let him work it there, it's not going to work out there very well. Does that make sense? 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God for your sake, spirit, soul, and body be preserved and kept sound and complete. See, the God of peace. See, when you dwell with him, he wants to work the area you're dwelling in you. When you dwell in it, when you encounter his rest, you're going to taste. You're going to feel it. It's going to be tangible. It's awesome. You're going to come back and say, oh, that was awesome. And it's going to linger on you when you encounter it. When you dwell there every day and you start moving into the rest, when you start moving into the dwelling place, what happens? Something gets authorized there. Whatever in you that's contrary to the place you're dwelling in, immediately he orders a redemption to that area. When you're dwelling there, he orders a redemption. And when it does, bam! It starts eradicating things that you could not change. I break that heaviness off of this place in Jesus' name. I break it. You're going to hear these words. Hallelujah. The enemy's not going to steal those words. When you dwell, there's a place that authorizes him to immediately work his rest in you.
Break everything's contrary to the rest. Break everything contrary to the... And all of a sudden, that becomes you. Christ now dwells in you in the rest of God. Where you're dwelling with Him, He's taken over that part. He's conquered. He conquers what's contrary to it. And when He conquers it, it's not you living there, not your old man living anymore. Not the unconquered parts of you. Christ now owns it. And when you come back, it's not you that's living in that area anymore. Christ lives here in what He conquered there. Well, you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to sit over this earthly jurisdiction and change everything all the time. Oh, you know what that is? That's working by the sweat of the brow. You're trying to work something in the wrong place. It wasn't designed to be worked out here. It was designed to be worked out there. Amen? Romans 16, verse 20. Now, this goes for every area you're dwelling in. If I'm dwelling in His love, I started seeing that too. I started entering His love. And I'm just having the great time. And all of a sudden, something engages there. And it starts ordering a redemption. And it starts conquering things contrary to the place that you're dwelling. If I'm dwelling in love, it starts conquering everything contrary to it. It pulls it up. You're not even expecting it. It's the easiest thing I've ever experienced in my life. We've been working this change thing way too hard. Your stuff can't hold a candle to what's going on in there. What's happening in there is so powerful. You just got to get to the place where you dwell there. You can't just encounter and think you're going to come out with all the glory. You have to dwell. When you begin dwelling there, all of a sudden the redemption gets loosed. If I'm dwelling in His love, it starts ordering the redemption of love into my soul. The depth of change. The ability to see what everybody else has been seeing for years. You can see. I told Anna and Chuck this the other day. I said, when it comes to the gift of my life, the gift of revelation allowed me to see all things pertaining to ministry. I could just see. I could see your stuff easy. But that gift of revelation would not allow me to see my stuff. I don't care if you shouted at me, I couldn't see it. Well, what is your stuff? Does it matter? You probably already know. You've probably seen it. But I couldn't see it. But when I got into love, now I was encountering love. I was experiencing the love. It was wonderful. I was just love. All of a sudden, it ordered a redemption. Went in there and tore mountains down. In a matter of weeks, just leveled them. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but it leveled some serious mountains. I'm like, where did that power come from? He said, it came from dwelling in me. It's no longer you that liveth anymore. I live there now. I conquered it. It's mine. I enforced the redemption right that I purchased. I enforced the redemption over it. And now I dwell in your heart in that area. It belongs to my, listen to this, love. Therefore, when you go back, that area that was responding in control is going to respond in love. Did you hear that? When you go back, the old man that would keep rising, whatever area it was, it's not going to respond that way anymore. He owns it. It's no longer that I that liveth anymore. It's that place He conquered starts living. Love, all that stuff was replaced with love, and now love is living. It's a natural outflow. It's the same way when you love God. He goes, we love because we've been first loved. The life that I now live here is by the faith of the Son of God who has loved me. Because He's loved me there and conquered. Better way to say it is the faith that I now live is by the faith of the Son of God who has conquered me. In Rick Joyner's book, one of the things he said to him when he was on that mountain, they said, the greatest calling of all is to be fully conquered by Him. He goes, I will use those that have been fully conquered greater than anything else. Because those that have been fully conquered will be used to conquer the world in Christ.
And we're all trying to conquer me, conquer me, conquer me, conquer me. We're over here like this. Conquer me, God. Conquer me. I want to die for you. And you're doing all this stuff. Submitting your flesh. Doing all the stuff. I'm crucified. I'm crucified. Dead to the flesh. I'm like, how can I die anymore? I don't have enough power to die here. But I get over there, and all the stuff I used to do over here is automatic. It's just automatic. If I dwell with him, something happens. He shifts the gear in there, and all of a sudden you're going along and just loving the Lord your God and all his God, and he just opens the veil. And he goes right down into the soul where nobody ever goes. And he goes, hello, this is my area now. And he conquers it. And when he does, he just takes over. And when you come back, that area is not living in you anymore. Something else is living there. You respond differently. You see differently. You hear differently. Defensive walls have been shattered. Veils have been shattered. You can hear. You can see yourself. Sometimes that's not very fun. Because somebody got to go look back at all that stuff. And then God fills you up. Those, I don't want to make light of that, but those are serious tears. When the love of God shows you the old, oh, it's bad. I'm not that bad. Wait till you get under his candle, his flashlight. But you want him to do that because the change is so intensely deep and so fast. I'm like, God, we've been working so hard at this. He said, I know. I'm like, but it's so easy. He goes, you weren't even looking for this. But I was. He goes, I want all of you. And he goes, if you'll dwell with me, I'll conquer all these areas that freely and that easy. If you'll dwell in my peace, in my rest, I'll conquer everything that's contrary to my rest, which was your old works, the old system of works. I'll conquer it. If you dwell in my love, I'll conquer everything in you that's contrary to my love. And I'll peel your onion back until there's nothing left. The onion of your soul. You can't believe how many times your soul covers one thing after another, and God will just pull one layer after another, one layer. He's going to get down there into the goody part. And then he says, if you dwell in my glory, I'll conquer everything contrary, and I'll give you the image. Then I'll let you sit in a seat of inheritance, like riches and glory. And everything contrary to that seat, you're dwelling in riches and glory. Poverty, lack, debt, all that stuff, need, all of a sudden, you're dwelling in riches and glory, and all of a sudden, it just conquers it. You come back here, it's no longer that I live, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. I come back here and I have automatic faith for finance. Automatic faith for provision. That's how the Lord operated. He dwelt with the Father. But the beautiful part is you don't have to conquer yourself. He's going to do that for you. You just got to get there. How many times has he told you, come to me. Come. I'll give you rest. Then I'm going to give you a yoke that's easy. See, that's the other side. Come to me, I'll give you the rest, and then I'll give you a yoke that's easy in your system and a burden that's light. Come to my peace, in me you have peace, and then my peace I'll leave with you in the earth. How about this? Come to my waters and drink. Come to me and drink. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Then out of your belly will flow rivers there. Come to me and dwell in my love, and then you'll go back and love others with the love. You'll continue in my love. As the Father's loved me, and I've loved you, now go continue in my love. Are you trying to work God's love down here? Somebody's all mad at you, and you're all flustered. You're like, I'm trying to love her. Bless them, Father. I bless them. Roar. Do good to those who hate you. Write them a letter, and you're squealing the whole time like a stuffed pig. I can't believe I have to humble myself. You see, you're working at it. But you go in here and you start dwelling in love, and love goes down there and conquers all that stuff. And just all of a sudden, you're so full of God, you've got this love for your all, even the people who don't like you. And you come back and God says, now go love them gladly. You're looking for them now. You're looking for the ones that you may have hurt. You're looking to make things right. You're operating something else because it come out of a different jurisdiction. See the difference? When Jesus would say, love your enemies, he didn't mean to go try to find something in this jurisdiction. Your love is pitiful in the flesh. All of our love is pitiful. You're trying to do things here so you out of duty to please God. But in the reality, you don't have anything to do it with. You're trying to pull something out, but you haven't been loved properly yet. Christ is not living through you because you haven't got to the place where he's truly loved, L-O-V-E-D you. Amen. In my case, it's taken a lot of L-O-V-E-D-D-D-D-D-D-D-D. I'm stuck in his love right now, but I'm liking it. Don't get in a hurry. I'm stuck in his rest. The peace of God is so glorious. His love, everything's glorious. I'm like, go to John 14. See, what we've done is we've experienced, encountered, but we didn't have enough faith to dwell. Your faith's got to get to the point where it dwells. It gets there every day and it dwells. When it starts dwelling, he's going to authorize redemption for that area. And he's going to immediately authorize your transformation to whatever area you're dwelling in. When he does, you come back changed in a good way. You're liking it and everybody else around you is liking it. One thing about the love of God, the remarkable thing, it's brutally honest. And it's very transparent. The reason why you're not transparent about stuff is because fear. But the love of God will strip fear straight down. Fear cannot dwell where there's love. Neither can anger and hatred. That's why John said, how can you say you love God and hate your brother? You're not actually loving God because you're not. How can you dwell with God because God is love? You can't dwell with him and hate your brother. It's impossible. Now, you might visit the love of God, but if you're going to dwell in the love of God, it's going to conquer hatred just like that. You can't do it. It's impossible. Anybody that tells you they know God and they hate somebody, they don't know him very well. They're not dwelling with him. They're dwelling in some gift they've got with a whole bunch of knowledge. If you dwell with God, it's going to be seen and felt. The atmosphere of heaven's going to be around your life. People are not going to be afraid of you. You're not going to be afraid of them. Because he strips fear down, the kind of fear that brings you into transparency. You're not afraid to be transparent. Now, I'm not telling you to walk around and tell everybody your stuff, but you're not afraid. John 14, verse 19, yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you see me because I live, listen to this, you will live also because I'm going to come live through you. What you're going to witness in the last days is the Lord Jesus coming and living through his people, not in word only. Oh, Jesus lives in me. Really? Because when he really lives in us, you're not going to have to tell anybody. They're going to see it and feel it. Not only are you going to see it, they're going to feel it. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father when I come and live in you. You're going to understand that I'm in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. You're going to understand how this oneness works. And he that hath my commandments. Now, this is a beautiful thread of scripture here. It's very misunderstood. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And will manifest myself unto him. So if I don't keep his commandments, he's not going to love me? How would that be possible? God is love. So would you consider his love being conditional here? What commandments are you supposed to keep? I'm going to come over here and keep all his commandments. I'm going to be a goody two-shoe Mary Poppins. And God's going to come and love me. And come manifest himself to me. How's that working out for you? Everybody's just trying, well, I'm going to get this area right. I know if I just get this area right, he's going to come and love me. He's going to come and manifest him. When you got that area right, here comes another area. And you're forever changing these areas. You know, if I just give my TV away, God will come. Well, man, I'll just go buy a truckload of TVs and then give them away if that's what causes God to come. If TV gets me, giving away a TV gets me closer to God, then not only am I going to give my TV away, I'm going to go and give your TV away too. I'm going to buy a whole truck of them and give them away.
Because then it gets me closer to God. You flesh outfit. You trying to be good enough. He left it a mystery of what his commandments were. He said, if you'll keep these commandments. Then he goes on and tells you more specifically what he's talking about. Because Judas, I'm glad this Judas, not Iscariot, asked, how is it you'll manifest themselves? I'm so glad he asked that question. Because everybody's looking for him to do this right now. 2,000 years later, we're still trying to get him. How do you manifest yourself among us? Jesus answered, if a man love me, how many of you love him? He will keep my words. But he didn't tell you which ones to keep. He just said, he'll keep my words. First he said commandments, now he said he'll keep my words. Which words do I keep to get you to come here? At this point, he's probably thinking, you know, they're going to need my Holy Spirit to help them with this one. And you know what? He said that. My Father will love him, so the Father doesn't love me if I don't keep his words. Do you know which words to keep? I'm sorry, he just doesn't love you. You know what he said? If you'll keep my words, my Father will love him. You know what he just said? If you'll keep my words, you'll be with me where I am. If you're with me where I am, you're going to be loved of my Father the way he loves me. And then when the Father loves you, when the Father loves you, because you're dwelling in this place, he's going to transform you. Such a degree, he's going to take over that part of you. And then he's going to come back with me, back into your jurisdiction. And me and my Father are going to make our abode with you in your jurisdiction because you've been with him in his. What we want is not another gift. We want the abode of the Father and Son. You know what it's going to feel like? An atmosphere is going to start increasing of peace, love, harmony, and glory. It's going to start filling the place. That's how you know the abode of God, because you've been dwelling with him. He's going to come and dwell with you, because it's not I that liveth anymore, but Christ is living in me. Now watch this. When Christ lives in me, he comes and lives through me now, because he conquered that area. Where my heart was sowing destruction through my stronghold, it's now sowing love, because I'm not living there anymore. He is. He that loveth me not does not keep my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father that sent me. These things I've spoken to you, being yet present. But watch this. This is why you need the Holy Ghost to help you interpret. When the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things that I just said. And he'll bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I said unto you, he's going to show you what I just told you. Because you don't have the capacity to hear it right now. How was the Lord going to tell him, if you keep my words, how was he going to tell them he's about to go to the cross, be resurrected in the right hand of God, receive the inheritance of nations, and call you to come and sit with him and dwell with him in the Father's love? How's he going to tell all that to you? He goes, listen, you don't have a clue what I'm saying to you, but I'll give you my Holy Ghost and he'll teach you what I just said. When the time comes, you're going to keep my words, and particularly when John 15 comes around, next chapter, if you abide in me, guess what that word is? Meno, it means to dwell. It's the same word, he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love. If you dwell in me and my words dwell in you that got you there, you can ask what you will and it will be done to you. If you dwell in me, I'm coming back with you. Those were the words that you were supposed to keep. If your man will dwell in me, he goes, but he that abideth not in me, he goes, what did he say? Look at this. He said, if you abide in me, John 15, my words abide in you, ask what you will. They ask what you will. Look at verse 4, abide in me, Menno, I'm closing. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you. You're down here trying to bear the fruit of the nations. You're running around year after year doing all the things that men do, and nothing's happening but the same old level of fruit. But if you come and keep my words to be with me where I am and follow me into the Father, and you keep my words and then you dwell with me where I am in the Father, my Father will love you. The Father loves you whether you're there or not. When he said, my Father will love you, he meant my Father will love you. You'll experience my Father's love. He'll conquer you. Then I will come and dwell in the place that he conquered. You'll come back. It's not you that dwelleth anymore. I that dwelleth in you. And the life that you live in the earthly jurisdiction, you will live by my faith, because it's not you that live it. It's me. And I'm going to come now live through you by my faith. And you're going to bear much fruit now, because I'm going to have my abode with you here. We've skipped the abode. We've skipped the abiding. We've skipped the dwelling. Our definition of abiding is the 5-minute book we got. And we dwell. Father, thank you for dwelling in you. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go get them. Oh, I did 15 minutes today. I'm abiding in the vine. Lord, I abide. Love you. Love you. Worship you. Hallelujah. That's working out real well for us, isn't it? He said, if you say that you love me, and I'm closing for the 5th time. Listen, if you say that you love me, you're going to keep my words and you're going to follow me into where I am. The words that bring you to where I am, to dwell with me and my Father. You're going to see my glory. You're going to behold my glory. My Father's going to love you the way he loves me. And when he does, he's going to, for the last time, conquer you. Then you're going to come back and ask what you will. It's going to be done. I'm going to come back and live through you. Isn't that glorious or what? When you dwell with God, you give him the license to authorize redemption straight from the right hand of God. And it's immediate and powerful. I told Anna, I said, if what happened in the last 2 weeks, where are we going to be in 1 year from now? Revival.
I just had one verse just to support what he was saying about love conquering and tearing down those mountains. And it's 1 John 2:9. And I'll just paraphrase this. He or she who loves abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in them. So anywhere you see in the Bible the word love, love equals light. Light equals glory. Light overtakes darkness. So it's just a natural progression of a spiritual law that when you abide in love, you abide in the glory light of Jesus, and darkness must flee.
And he takes all your stumblings out. There's no occasion to stumble or be a stumbling block. Come on, Carlos, let's finish this. Praise the Lord. I wish you'd learn how to smile, brother. Look at that.
Just as a quick intro for what he said earlier about he can see what's on us and we can see what's on him. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, know ye not in the flesh. Yeah, know no man. It says in verse 16, wherefore henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. In other words, he's saying don't know each other in the flesh. And then it's going to speak of the new creation, to know each other of the person in Christ who we are. But what I was going to say is on faith, you know, in a New American Standard version that I had a Bible, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh or the body, I live by the faith. And I actually scratched off in the faith of God, because in the NASB it says in the faith of God. I scratched it off and I put O-F, because it's of the faith of God. And because I was experiencing it, so I just scratched it off and I put of the faith of God, because I knew it wasn't my own faith, because I was experiencing that it was, you know. So now back to recap with that faith. So about 3, maybe 4 weeks ago, I was at the Pasadena church, the one that we cover, the Ospinas Awakened Church. So I was over there, and we had an awesome service. And that night when I got home, it was close to midnight, but I fell in the bed, and it was like, it wasn't the same bed. I mean, I just felt, and it was like the most comfortable bed, and then I just straight into sleep. And when I woke up, I was like totally refreshed, like I was in a different place. And it's, and I believe it's that faith that's activated because we're experiencing God, that realm. So then that whole day was when I was getting some groceries, and I got up early in the morning, and when I got in the car, it wasn't the same car. I was like, I mean, the knobs, the little, you know, the little doorbells, ding, ding. And I was like, everything was just so calm and just, it was like, and it's because I was at a different place, but it was a tangible, it's a place, and it's hard to explain, but it's like you're above all the situations. Your faith is just, it's above. So I went to the store. I came out of the store, and of course, all the encountering people, everything was just awesome. The counter, I mean, you want to hug the guy behind the counter. So then as I'm even driving away, it's like I felt like, for instance, something, you know, like a bill trying to come, and it's just like I was above it, and I just flushed it off. And I knew that we're going to live in that place. And it's just, I was telling Pastor Lua, those are foretastes because we're going to be dwelling in that place.
See, he entered into that Friday night, and it dwelt with him that day. As we learn to dwell there, it'll dwell with us here. That's where revival's coming from. Isn't that glorious? Father, thank you for this glorious day. What a no day like this day, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word, the word that brings us to you, the word that we keep in our heart that brings us all the way into the Father. Father, sow this deeply into the hearts. Let it not escape. Let not the enemy take it. Father, keep them in the peace. Keep us in the rest. Keep us in the canopy of your glory all of the day as we're training and being taught to walk in the glory of these last days. Keep us. Father, strength for the bodies right now. Strength for those that will rise in the morning. Let them rise in the life of God. Let the presence of the Lord be upon them all of the day. Stretch this into tomorrow, Father. Stretch this glory into tomorrow. Amen, amen.